Okay, we're coming to our session now on reaching young adults, and we're very pleased that we've got a team that's come to tell us and unlock all the secrets of it, right? Penny Stradling, who's leading this, it's got an interesting character in what she does for a living and actually amalgamates this in it. If you're like, well, you know when you use these apps on iPads and all this sort of thing, you know, or you use database type things and you wonder, you know, what sort of characters write all this sort of stuff? Well, I'm one of them. But Penny is a nightmare for us that write these sort of things, because her title, and I think I've got it right, is co-chair Fresh Expressions Young Adults Roundtable Conferences. Is that right? Yeah, well, if you actually add that up, that's 64 characters, which doesn't fit in any database. But Penny works for the Church Missionary Society, and in her spare time, if she's got any spare time, that is, along with chairing this Fresh Expressions thing, you're studying for an MA, is that right? Ask a busy person, and they would come and do it for you. But she's brought with her Steve Leach and John Wheatley, that's right. And Penny's going to... Who's the lead doing the first bit?
Yeah.
Right, okay, so you'd be able to tell them. Okay, so they're going to take us through till about 6 o'clock, and there'll be opportunity for questions and input along the way. And then if you want a bit more after dinner in the bar, because if you buy them a drink in the bar, you'll get a lot more information out of them, I can tell you. So over to you.
How's it doing now?
Yeah,
much better. So it's very good to be here. I work with Frontier Youth Trust, and I'm also part of the Fresh Expressions Young Adult Roundtable, which is basically a group of young adults that have come together to say, well, we've noticed there aren't many young adults in church or involved in church things. What can we do to be part of this? And so we were invited here because we understand you're the change makers in the Church of England. If something happens, it's you that makes it happen. So we are going to present some research that was done partly by Church Army, is that right? And partly by the Fresh Expressions. And then we're going to have some discussions, and hopefully we can come up with some creative solutions together. So there's going to be lots of time to talk and ask questions and bat some of this stuff around. But Steve's going to start first.
I've never been introduced in the way that Tug just introduced me, I have to say. So, yes, Steve is the other co-chair of the very long-winded titled group that John has just explained. So Steve is a pioneer ordinand in Winchester. I work for CMS, and John's with Frontier Youth Trust. So it's a collective of quite a lot of different organisations and young adults working with different types of young adults. There's about... I want to say about 40 people involved with a wider network of 100 or so across the country, looking at what can we do about our generation and their lack of engagement with church. And there are some very positive things happening, so this isn't all doom and gloom by a long stretch. So we're also all studying at CMS on the Pioneer Leadership course. So Steve, John and I are both doing the MA, and Steve is doing it as an ordinand as well. So we come with a bit of a mix of essays to write at the same time about all of this, which which some of us do better than others. So do you want to say anything else about yourself?
That's good. Well, I'll tell you what I'd like to say, is that I'm quite nervous, because I'm nervous of patronising you. There's so much wisdom here and experience in the room, and I'm some cocky young ordinand who thinks I might have something to say about reaching young adults. And I hope we have got some stories, and we're going to explore together those. But I just, right at the outset, I'm really aware that I'm inviting your grace, really, as my ideas and innovation don't come across as something that isn't helpful. Does that make sense? Do you get the sentiment I'm trying to offer there? Good, thank you. Right, I'm going to send some music down this little cable here. Thank you. And begin with a little reflection. And I'm sure you're well aware of these sorts of statistics that we're about to show you. I'm sure you've seen them for years and years and years, but this is really what still inspires me to pray, to keep working at this stuff. It was part of my call to being ordained and exploring that stuff. So let's begin, John, if you could click our way through. During the last 20 years, the churches in England have lost approximately 394 children, 296 teenagers, and 182 20-somethings. Every week, each one is represented here by a grain of rice. That makes 872 young people per week, or 45,344 per year, or a total of 906,880 over 20 years. 44.5% of them, 403,600, were lost from the Church of England. Lord, have mercy. But these aren't just statistics and figures. Each of these grains of rice are people that you know, that used to worship alongside you in your communities, and are your family, perhaps, your children, your neighbours, they're friends of mine. Perhaps, I'm going to leave this here for a while, perhaps at some point you just want to come run your fingers through it and be prayerful, mindful of them. Can we invite you to start by sharing in pairs a tale of a young person you know who now is no longer part of your church community, who once was? Do turn in pairs and begin that. Thank you.
Okay. So it didn't take long, we noticed, for conversations to instantly begin. So we certainly feel this is such a live issue. This is our friends, our neighbours, our brothers, our sisters, our cousins, people's children, grandchildren. And all of us can think of probably several people who have left, walked away, for various reasons. And there isn't, sadly, there isn't one project that's going to put the wheels back on the bus and save us all. That just doesn't exist. But there are signs of hope. So, not very good with technology. So, I love this slide. I think it's just really blunt. So, the red bit is the Church of England population. The blue is other denominations. And the green, the mission. So this is the UK population. So it doesn't really matter what denomination you've come from, what denomination young adults are in, all of them are losing young adults. A few are bucking the trend, but they tend to not be the white indigenous young adults. It tends to be immigration is keeping some numbers up. So this is our challenge, and this is for the whole of the UK population and the whole church population. When you break it down into young adults, it gets a little more stark. So this is from the Tear Fund report on church going. It came out about 8 years ago. So I love graphs like this. I'm a bit of a geek. So the blue line is the UK adults and how they are split across different age ranges. So you can see there's more younger adults than there are older folk. But if you look at the pink line, which is the church going, and they recorded church going as twice a year, that meant you were a regular churchgoer. You can see that we face a different issue, that our congregations tend to be older, and the young adult end, the sort of the first two bits, the 16 to 24 and the 25 to 34, are very definitely below the national average. And every statistic and report that has been written shows that if you are not attending or connected to a church in your teens and 20s, you don't just suddenly join when you get to 50. People do, but on the whole, the trend is not that. That actually you stick, the values you form in your teen years and your 20s actually is what you will probably do for the rest of your life. And every generation starts with slightly less people who are connecting to church. So, it's quite a depressing picture, but as I said, there are signs of hope. Hooray! So, authentic faith. So what is this? So last year, as John mentioned, the Church Army Statistics and Research Department and Fresh Expressions Roundtable for Young Adults wrote a report called Authentic Faith, which we are selling at the back for £3.50. So hopefully this will inspire you to pick up a copy. And the idea was to research what is working with young adults. So Beth Keith, who was the person who did the research, she, with the round table, tried to find congregations or communities of young adults that were growing in the UK, and then tried to say what's working, what's not working, what are the types of young adults that are connecting. The issues around young adults, if you're not up on these sorts of things, young adult movement, young adults don't stay still. It's not untypical to sort of have 11 to 12 addresses in 3 years, and they might be spread across several cities. So actually even tracking where a young adult goes and how they're connecting with church is a challenge. And people may only be with you for 6 months, some for a month. The community I'm part of in Oxford, we've had people come for 2 weeks through to 2 years. Everyone sort of has their end date because study, work, often travelling around the world. These are all things that mean young adults just don't stay put for a lot. There are some that never move. In some areas, young adults are born, raised, stay and die in the same area. So again, there isn't just one type. Sociological development. Young adults we counted as those who weren't students. We excluded kind of university students, and we excluded kind of the young families. This is the group, 18 to 35-ish, who have left home but haven't really started on the marriage, family, kids, mortgage, etc. It was felt that churches do very well with young families, and you've got things like messy church starting and all those kind of activities, and they do very well for students and for youth. But actually, there's that bit in the middle that's post-youth and pre-family that something's not quite working. This is the decade, the age when typically you leave home, you're continuing education, you're getting into debt, you're travelling, you're having kids, marrying, different relationship issues, jobs, careers. It's quite a lot going on in that decade. So all of those things are things that churches are trying to work out how to engage with. Different streams of young adults, as we mentioned. Some never leave their estate, and others never really return to the family home. Class issues are actually becoming, I think, a bigger divide among young adults than perhaps was ever envisaged by older generations who tried to break down the class structure. So John, for example, works in an estate in Weston-super-Mare, the Bourneville estate, and what he does is very, very different to the things that Steve was up to in Bournemouth with the nighttime economy, and very different to what I do in Oxford with a very multicultural young adult group as people come through the university. So the implications for this, that again, there isn't one size fits all. And interestingly, the more and more we think about this, the more the subject of context comes up and understanding the culture and what's really going on for a specific group, because there isn't a one-size-fits-all. So this research was small-scale qualitative research. So for those who understand these things, want to know that this wasn't what somebody wrote on the back of an envelope, Beth did 12 in-depth conversations with the leaders of groups and just talked about how they developed and kind of let the conversation go. And from that came up with this what she sees as her recommendations. We then ran it past about 60 young adult leaders from across the country, and every single one of them said yes. So this is she's hit a spot for some people. I've explained the young adult definition, that 18 to 35, and it was 12 churches. What's missing is any rural examples, not because we didn't think it was important, but because we couldn't find any. So someone there going, I've got one. So it would be great. We'd love to do further research and continue to kind of check this out. But the links we had tended to be, you'll see when we get to it, there's a chart, and they tend to be university towns where people kind of stayed after that, and areas just, they tend to be cities and big towns. There's not rural and there's not villages and there's not. So that's just what probably says something as well about where young adults are. So I don't know if you've seen this in any other church army research. George Lings came up with this as a way of plotting where people are on the scale of church interactions and engagement. So he uses the passage from Acts and talks about taking the gospel from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria to the ends of the earth. And he explains it as Jerusalem is churched. The people in Jerusalem know the culture. You know when to, you know the language, you know how to dress, you know how people interact with each other. You know your celebrities, you read the books, you go to the conferences, you just know what's going on, you know when to stand up, when to sit down, you know what the special occasions are, you get it, you like it, it's your culture, it's home. So he calls these the churched people. These are the young adults you see in church on a Sunday morning. They've got it, they know it, they're there, they want to be there. Judea, the familiar, are the kind of slightly on the fringe. They sort of know the customs and the culture, and they could be in if they wanted to be, but they might choose to be slightly out on the edge. Samaria, the disagreeable. I think back to the times of Jesus when the Samaritans were not the popular people. They also kind of know the culture and the rituals, etc., but they don't like it. They're not at home there. And actually, for some of them, it's quite painful. And it's a sign of, they feel, actually, they've been abused or, misunderstood, etc. He talks about these as being the de-churched. So this is where a lot of, certainly my friends, fit. They grew up in church. They know exactly how to do church. They choose not to be there, and there's good reasons why they choose not to be there. And then he talks about the ends of the earth, which is a different culture. It's a different country. And if they came to Jerusalem, they would need a really good map and a guide and a good long time to integrate. And actually, is that really what church is about, trying to make people our culture, or actually planting churches where people are at? So this is how he plotted. And Beth, when she did this research, used the same pattern of where these group leaders felt that their communities were at. And they plotted along like this, which just looks like some sort of chart you get the opticians, really. So some were, as you can see, are very firmly Jerusalem and a bit of fringe. So they're good churches that are kind of attracting people in, but they're attracting people who kind of know what to do. There are some on the left-hand side that were churches that were very church. They were Jerusalem, but they were trying to head to the ends of the earth and realizing actually the majority of young adults are not in Jerusalem, Judea, or Samaria. The majority of young adults in the UK are at the ends of the earth. They don't know how to do church, and they are not going to turn up on a Sunday morning, even if you put on the best event ever. It's just not part of their culture to get up on a Sunday morning and come to the local parish church. And that doesn't matter if you're Anglican, Methodist, Baptist. That's just the reality. These were the places that were surveyed. So as I said, you can see they're kind of big towns, cities, often around universities. So some famous ones in there. So Soul Survivor Watford, you've probably come across. St. Thomas Crooks up in Sheffield's another big one. Others I hadn't heard of. There's a whole different range. You can see Steve Leach's name down there in Bournemouth for the unnamed group. Various other ones, Welsh ones, English ones, big cities and towns. But as you can see, as I said, no rural. But interestingly, it was found that it didn't really matter whereabouts on the Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria ends of the earth. All the different types of church that were surveyed had the same values of what the young adults felt were important. How they expressed them was completely different. But actually, if those values were not present in their community and their expression of church, it wasn't working. And the values are really good. And actually, they're really good signs of hope that fit, I think, brilliantly with the gospel message. The first one being community. Actually, if you're a 23-year-old who doesn't live anywhere near your family home anymore, because you went away for university and you moved for job, etc., the church is your new family. That sounds very Acts and Acts of the Apostles and first century. Brilliant. Excellent. Young adults are seeking community, which is something that actually young adults can also kind of produce themselves. Get a gang of young adults together who get on. They will instantly start to live life together. In my experience, they will want to build this community, and often it becomes something that attracts others as well. So community, very, very important. And I've my housemate didn't grow up as a Christian, and she's since become a Christian, and she goes to a big church in Oxford, and she said to me, well, you say that because I grew up in unchurched, I'd never want to go to the big church. And I said, what makes you go? And she said, oh, it's the small group, the pastorate. And I said, if the church got rid of all the pastorate groups, would you go? She's like, oh, no. I said, if the church got rid of the big Sunday service, would you still commit? She's like, absolutely. And actually, she goes for the small community group, not because it's a good band and it's a good preacher and it's thousands of people there. The next value was authenticity. Now, this one meant things around actually people being open and vulnerable with each other. And that people who were very good at masks and very good at saying the correct thing were actually not that helpful. And space to just be yourself and to really bash out what's going on and to really think things through was seen as another value. Again, not something I can see a problem for Christians. And a lot of these values as well are present in your average parish church on a Sunday morning. And I bet if you sat young adults down that were in those churches, they would probably say, well, this is the reason I come. It's not because they like the preacher or the vicar or the particular singing. They're like, here feels like home, and people are nice to me, and I can ask questions, and people are real. This came out time and time again. People here are real, and they care about me and want to include me. The next one was doubt. Now, this isn't just disagreeing with anything you're ever told. This is space to ask questions and to disagree and to say I don't get it and to say how does what you've just told me fit with my life on a Monday morning. So space to doubt and to question was another high value thing that all of these different groups put an emphasis on. Number four was spirituality. And this was expressed, again, in different ways. Some young adults who've grown up in church liked singing, liked liturgy, those kind of things that we kind of all know how to do because we're part of church and we kind of know what to do. Others found things like 24/7 prayer rooms, which are far more interactive, was actually where they felt closer to God and they felt more this connection. Others were doing completely different things. I know Steve's been part of doing public displays of spirituality across Winchester, and lighting candles on the cathedral lawn and other things that actually are just connecting. How do we connect God with the space that we exist in as a community of people? And again, a lot of creativity available in the church around this value. And the final one was identified as a reality rather than a value, is change. And change is the only constant in young adult culture. Our group that I'm part of in Oxford, we've been going about, three years, something like that. And we have probably changed the pattern of what we do 6 or 7 times. And we're probably a group of about 20 to 30, but have had 50 or 60 people in it in that time. One week to the next is never the same. And it's kind of, sometimes it's annoying and you just think, I wish life would calm down. That's just how life is. If you're in the same job after 5 years, it's like, why haven't you moved on? Why are you stuck? So life just goes, just changes constantly. Did you want to stop and talk about values? Okay, John is going to, I forgot what you want to ask. I haven't turned it on.
So, thank you, Penny. How are we doing? Okay. Much better. It feels like there's quite a lot to take in there. And I just thought it would be interesting to discuss that together and see, does this reflect with your experience of church, with the values that you think are important when we think about faith, we think about the gospel in our own lives? And how does this relate to what Sunday morning looks like, you know, in general, and the young people you know? So let's just take 5 minutes and talk about it on your tables or in small groups, and then we'll run around with any comments. So just take 5 minutes.
If you wanted the values again, community, authenticity, doubt, and spirituality.